Let's welcome Linda McHugh from the New Zealand Fire Service. Welcome to Women's Voices, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself first, Linda?
I'm 34 years of age. I've been in the fire service for approximately just under 4 years. I work at Birkenhead Fire Station.
Yes.
And I also work at Devonport Fire Station and Ponsonby Fire Station.
Why did you become a firewoman?
Working with people, help them protect what they value. Community is something that I've always wanted to work with. And I debated between the fire service and the police.
And you didn't join the police?
No, the fire service has a great reputation and it's the best job in the world.
That's very interesting. I part-time work for the police. Now, could you tell us about the New Zealand Fire Service? Is it a government organisation?
No, it's not. We're actually funded by your fire service levy. So on your insurance, there is a small fire service levy and that's how we're paid.
So it's a Crown entity, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, what is the role of the New Zealand Fire Service, Linda?
Statutory role and also with its goals, reducing the incidence of fire, reducing the consequence of fire for people, reducing the consequence of fire for property, and reducing the consequence of fire for communities. We achieve this through improvement to publics by fire damage knowledge, fire safe behaviour and practice, and fire response skills.
So you do quite a lot of community education.
We do. We work with the public a lot.
Now, I've heard you, I've heard ads in different languages on Access Radio quite a few times.
Yes.
So you do use Access Radio, which is a great thing.
We do.
Because we reach 150-something communities, I think.
It's fantastic.
So that's really
great. We have it recorded in quite a few different languages.
Yes.
Fire safety messages.
Yes. Could you tell us a little bit about the, we'll talk more about the work later, but could you tell us a little bit about the people employed by the fire service?
We have a multicultural environment.
Yes.
And all ages. We do recommend people probably over the age of 20.
Yes.
And maybe have got a little bit of life skills first before employing. But we are definitely encouraging different cultures at this stage to join the fire service and different ages as well. Everybody that seems to be employed by the fire service is one big family, and they all have one goal, is to work with communities, enjoy that.
Do you have a huge female firefighter population?
No, we don't, actually. We have, it's less than 5%.
Right.
We have approximately 60 female firefighters, paid firefighters in New Zealand, and 18 of them belong to Auckland.
Oh, right.
Mm.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
It's slowly growing.
Slowly growing, like the police, because
yes.
A few years ago there weren't as many police women. So do you have lots of volunteer staff, or paid or mixed?
We have mixed. We have approximately 1,700 career paid staff at the moment, and just over 7,000 volunteers in New Zealand.
So what do they do, the staff? Can you sort of start with the ranks?
We have a trainee firefighter. That's when you start on your rookies course for 3 months down in Rotorua.
Yes.
And then after 2 years, you become sitting through a TAPS process program. You become a qualified firefighter.
Yes.
And 2 more years, you become a senior firefighter with passing of progression programs.
Yes.
After that, you can apply, once you've passed your exams, for a station officer.
Yes.
And then we go to the rank of senior station officer.
So your initial training is for 2 years?
It's 3 months down in Rotorua.
Yes.
And then you have a probation period for 6 months to a year.
Right. Do you get paid during your probation?
Yes, you do.
Right.
Yes.
I've seen different markings on the helmets worn by firefighters. Why are these different?
On the yellow helmet, we have no markings as a firefighter.
Yeah.
We have one red marking as a qualified firefighter who's been in approximately 2 years.
Yes.
And 2 stripes in red are a senior firefighter. And we have the blue stripe, which is then a station officer, and 2 blue stripes as a senior station officer.
Right. who is the highest ranking firefighter, Linda?
You asking for firefighter, which is a senior firefighter, or are you asking for chief?
Or whichever.
Okay, once we go after a senior station officer, then we move to your deputy chief and to your chief, which are in districts.
Yes. So each district has a chief?
And a deputy chief, yes.
What would you say about your job as a female firefighter, Linda?
What I've said before, it's the best job in the world. Once you're in, you never want to leave. It's fantastic. It's like working with a family. They support you inside of work and they all support you outside of work. It's great working with them. Yeah, I would recommend the fire service to anybody that feels that that's the road they would like to go down. It's a great career.
So it's full of these macho men.
It is. It's definitely full of the macho men.
Macho men. Yes. Yeah, I've seen a calendar which was being passed around my former workplace of gorgeous firefighters at one time.
There are plenty of them.
Yeah, but they do look after you guys, obviously.
They do. And despite what people say, they do accept us in the fire service now, and we really enjoy working alongside them. Yep, it's great, and they help us a lot.
Yep. Well, that's nice. What would someone need to do if they were interested in joining the fire service?
If you're interested in joining the fire service, I recommend that you look on our website, which is www.fire.org.nz, and go to career fire service, and they will look at that. Goes through the employment and how to apply for a position, also what you need to do for our cognitive testing and our physical testing.
So it's www.fire.org.nz. What sort of work is a firefighter expected to do?
Firefighter, we have a number of jobs and responsibilities. In general, we fight fires, we have extrications and rescues, we contain hazards, substances, spills, we attend motor vehicle accidents, and we apply first aid. We also assist to natural disasters. There's not much that the modern firefighter doesn't do, actually. There's also proactive side, working with communities to safeguard them from danger. Yep. So a lot of it is risk reduction, readiness, response and recovery.
Yep. Normally when you hear the word firefighter, you only think about someone climbing up a ladder and putting out people.
Yes.
But there's a lot more to your job.
There is a lot more than what there used to be. That's correct. Yes. Yeah. Basically, we're happy to help and go to anything that we're called to. Yep.
What sort of statistics are we looking at in your job? You know, how many fires do you put out? How many calls do you answer, kind of thing?
During 2007, we had in New Zealand over 73,000 incidents were attended by the fire service. This includes fire, motor vehicle accidents and chemical emergencies. Over 24,000 of those fires were fires, and 4,000 were approximately house fires as well.
Quite a lot of them, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. We had approximately just over 5,000 vegetation fires.
Right.
And the busiest fire station in New Zealand is Auckland City, with just over 3,000 call-outs.
Probably because of the numbers.
Yes.
People.
Yes.
Have there been any deaths by fire?
We had last year, 2007, the fatalities were 33 people. Mm-hmm. And yes, over 50% of fatal fatalities of the home are alcohol related.
50%?
Yes.
That's quite a huge number, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And do they involve children as well?
Yes, they do.
Quite a lot of them.
Yes, I haven't got the numbers on actual statistics.
But in the media, you hear so much about children playing. A fire has been started because children were playing with
matches. Yes, matches and candles. Kids. Also with cooking being unattended.
Yes.
So we always suggest that you keep looking when you're cooking.
Yes.
And don't drink and fry.
Don't drink and fry.
Don't drink and fry.
That's the first time I heard that. Drink and drive, I'm familiar with.
We suggest you don't drink and fry.
Why is that?
Because if you have under the influence of alcohol, often frying food, a lot of people fall asleep while they've been frying some chips when they've been drinking. And
I thought the fumes catch fire. Do you get many false alarms, Linda?
Yes, we do, actually. We over 20,000 of our calls in 2007 were false alarms.
20,000 out of your 73,000.
Yes, and 50 to 70% of some fire stations, actually, that is the amount of their calls are false alarms.
So there must be a huge cost to the taxpayer.
Yes.
Do you have any idea of the cost?
For a call, yes, we charge, if you have two call outs in over 12 months, yes, $1,250. But that's only if it is a chargeable false alarm.
Yes.
So it's not your normal neighbour who's rung up saying their neighbour's on fire or their house, yeah, is on fire. We don't charge for that. We, yeah, encourage you, if you think your house, yeah, is on fire, still call us.
Yes.
There's no charge there. This is normally for a commercial building that has an automatic smoke alarm system in it. And the fire service does give them the chance to reply to that charge and have it rescinded.
Yeah. Or someone does it as a prank, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
They're often the 111 calls. They do, yeah, have a lot of prank calls there.
Yeah, yeah.
But we will still attend, yeah, even if it is believed to be a prank.
But then you send
call.
Them a bill.
That depends.
It can be.
It can, yes, be sent, yes, if, yeah, it's a chargeable, yes.
Now, how do you work with the community other than by, you know, extinguishing fires?
80% of our work is actually prevention. We work a lot with school visit programs. We have a program designed especially for schools,
yes,
and it's called FireWise. So we encourage every school, they receive a letter yes, every year encouraging that we come along with the fire truck and do a fire safety talk. We have a fire awareness intervention program,
yes,
that's for children that have started fires or have got a fascination with lighters. We have people specially trained in that to come along and educate them. We install smoke alarms,
yes,
to help the public with that, and a lot of people don't actually know where the smoke alarm should be installed. So if you do have any issues with that, you're most welcome to ring your local fire station,
right,
and they will bring the truck out and give you some education on fire safety, plus they will install your smoke alarms for,
right,
you.
Is there a charge for it?
No, there's no charge. That's free.
That sounds quite promising.
It is. We do a lot of panel visits to commercial buildings that have, mm, had a new building built on their premises. We go and check that out for them. We go to a lot of communities and do work with Girl Guides, Brownies, yeah, any scouts that we've been asked to do.
Yes.
We have a kitchen demonstrator, which shows to people how dangerous, or it shows how dangerous putting water on fat fires is, and it also educates people how, what to do in the case of a fire.
Yes.
We have a Wendy house, which shows children what happens when with the smoke layers and how the smoke can come down, and it educates them how to crawl on the ground to find the door. We work with senior citizens also to educate them on fire safety and give them advice on how to get out of their house and escape plans.
Right. Do you, now, have you got any advice for housewives, women?
We do, with fire education.
Fire education, how to prevent fires in the home. I asked you that question because a lot of our audience who are migrant women, they come from different countries, and fire safety is not as developed as in New Zealand half the time.
Yes.
And then, you know, systems are quite different. So for someone who is new to the country, would you have some advice?
Especially with winter at the,
yes,
moment, we encourage people not to have electric blankets left on their beds,
yes,
to turn them off before they hop in, to also have them checked annually.
Yes.
Ashes from your fireplace, we encourage that they be put into a metal container and put outside away from the house for at least 5 days. It takes them to cool down.
Right.
We've had fires a lot with that.
Yeah.
We encourage that smoke alarms be put in every house, and sprinklers if you can afford the cost with that.
Yes.
Extinguishers are a good thing to have near
have
your,
at least one in the kitchen.
One in the kitchen, near the kitchen.
Yes.
And if you're going to be looking at that, a dry powder extinguisher is a good one to have next to the
kitchen. And where can you get them?
You can get them from any of our hardware shops, Placemakers, right, Bunnings, Mitre 10, any of them supply them.
Yes. Yeah. What about the, I just want to go back to the electric blanket. Now, where can you get an electric blanket checked?
If you ring the fire stations, they will actually have a place listed and be able to give you some help with that. A lot of electrical stores will check them for you.
Often
your local fire station will have somebody that they'll have a number up that, that you can ring and have that tested annually. That's something we definitely recommend.
Yeah, and a good time to do that is at the beginning of winter.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, isn't it?
We recommend also with your changing of your alarm clock, your smoke alarms to be changed.
Yes. My kids learned that at school.
That's good.
So when I first came to New Zealand, I still remember they came home and educated us.
If anybody would like any education, any programs from the fire service, we have a promotions and education department at Auckland Region.
Right.
And it's a free service. The phone number is 09302 5100. That's 09302 5100.
That's to do fire education,
fire preventing.
Yes. Education.
We're happy to come out and
work with community groups. You know, there are lots of little women's groups and community groups.
There's a lot of groups that are not aware that we offer this service.
Absolutely. And for people who may have come to New Zealand, who may not have had fires, you know, coming from warmer climates, if they have are not used to having gas heaters or fires and
Electric
blankets and things like that.
We encourage the heat and meter rule, which is not to have any clothing or bedding or blankets at least 1 meter away from your heater. Otherwise, they can catch on fire. That's a big problem we've had in New Zealand during winter time.
I should say that to my cat because she goes and lies
puts the tail
3 centimeters, 3 centimeters from the heater. Do you do anything else to prevent fire prevention, to promote fire prevention education in the community?
Well, as I've said, 80% of our time is that. And we do spend a lot of our days doing that.
Yeah. Do you have any advice about fire extinction?
We do. We actually advise that you exit the building immediately. If you are there when the fire does start, say it is in a kitchen, and you feel comfortable and it's a small fire, you can attempt to extinguish it with either a dry powder extinguisher, something like that. But if the fire has been going for too long, we recommend that you immediately get out of the building, call 111, and we will come to put that fire out.
What about, people who leave oil on the stove and then try to put it out with water?
That's highly not recommended.
Not recommended, no, isn't
not
it?
Not at all.
But that does happen quite often.
Yes, that is correct. Mm-hmm. But that is something we just don't recommend. If you are going to attempt to put out a fat fire, we recommend that the element be turned off and a lid be put over top of it and left there until the fire service have come to remove that lid and check it.
Yes.
It can still be burning underneath, so we recommend that you put a lid on, turn the gas off, exit and call
111. Yes.
Only if you have the opportunity to put the lid on, do so. If you do not, that's fine. We'll be there.
Even if it is a little kitchen fire, you still attend it, do you?
Most definitely. We recommend that you call us any situation for 111.
A lot of new migrants would think, oh, it's such a trivial thing. Why should I call 111? It's for an emergency.
Yes, I do agree with you. That is actually a problem that we are dealing with.
Yes.
A lot of people also believe that we will charge by coming out, which is what we do not do. We're happy to come out and we're happy to check it. It's better to be safe and that the fire doesn't spread through the house.
Yeah, because I've come across a case of a woman who was wearing a flimsy floated dress, and she was trying to do exactly that. She had a pan on the fire and with oil, and she was trying to put it off, and she caught her dress caught on fire, and she's had horrible burns.
Often a lot of Nighty products and things like that as well. The product that they are made of makes them extremely dangerous to oil, also to heaters and things like that.
Yes.
We recommend maybe not cooking in that type of clothing at times, but also keep looking when you're cooking. Don't leave any cooking unattended.
Have you got any more of those bylines?
Don't drink and fry.
Don't drink and fry, yes.
And our meter heater rule.
Meter heater rule, yes. They're quite easy to remember.
Yes, they are.
Great from a communication point of view.
Great for our children. We used to educate them with stop, drop and roll when you're on fire.
Yeah.
So that's what our FireWise promotion recommends. And now it recommends that you get down, get low and get out.
Yes. What about kids causing fires?
Yes. We have the fire intervention program. That's what I spoke about earlier.
And they're just examples of how kids could cause fire other than playing with matches and the obvious. Do they?
It is often. They do that. Lighters by candles as well.
Yes.
Being encouraged by candles. And as they move up into the teenage years, often lighters and extinguishing for experiments have come more into it.
Anything else that you would like to talk about, Linda, before we wind off?
Just if anybody out there is actually thinking of a career in the fire service, it's fantastic and you'll thoroughly enjoy it. Go to our website, www.fire.org.nz. That's also Fire Promotions and Education Department. Again, the number is 09302 5100, and that is at no cost.
Great. Thank you so much for the very important, very informative information, Linda, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for your time.
That was Linda McKeough from New Zealand Fire Service. We have no notices this week, but we decided to use this slot to inform you of something useful. We have just finished the International Foreign Language Week. Unfortunately, this did not receive much exposure in the media, unlike the Maori Language Week, so we want to devote a few minutes to it. We have found some interesting information from the edusearch.co.nz website, which will generate some food for thought. Key messages from the International Language Week, which is during the 10th and 16th of August. Speaking only one language is like a grey, dull winter. It's time to spring into the colour and variety of learning other languages. Speaking other languages will take you places, mentally, physically and emotionally. Speaking international languages opens up jobs, friendships, travel and a new way of thinking and expressing yourself. Every child should have the chance to learn a new language at school. Learning a language isn't just about a short taster course, it needs to be ongoing and cumulative. With languages, little and often is best. Half an hour four times a week is better than 2 hour blocks once a week. Language learners need regular and ongoing classes. The number of hours of class time relates directly to their success. International studies have shown that people who can speak more than one language do better across the entire curriculum. In the international marketplace, speaking more than one language gives people a competitive advantage. English is a bit like vanilla ice cream. It's everywhere, it's nice, it's basic. But there are so many more flavors and tastes out there. Why not try them? If someone masters one language, their first or the second or third, the next one might be even easier. This is the communications age, and languages are the heart of communication. Studies show that people who learn other languages tend to be more flexible, more reasonable, and more broad-minded. They understand. I also learned recently that learning a new language is one way of delaying the onset of Alzheimer's. Those are some key messages from the International Language Week, which was this week, 10th to 16th of August. If you have any community notices, please email them a week before you want to air them to women's.voices hotmail.com. All good things have to come to an end, and that is all our time for today. It was great being with you. Today's program was created, produced, and brought to you by Asoka Basnaik. We wish to thank our sponsors, the Office of Ethnic Affairs, whose assistance we value. Join us next week on Thursday nights at 7:30 with Women's Voices. Until then, have a wonderful night. Не верю ни снам, ни словам. Я не верю.